The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
My name is Al Whitney, and I'm sitting in tonight for John Stepmiller. He's a little bit under the weather, and I said I'd be happy to do it. So, welcome. I'm here in Central Ohio, where it is a cold, cold, cold day. The dog didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to go outside. It's hovering around zero, I think, but hopefully temperature will start to rise tomorrow or the next day, and by the weekend, I think we're going to be up to 40. But they even closed the schools in Central Ohio today. It was that cold. So staying warm and sitting in my nice warm office, I thought it'd be fine to take an opportunity to talk to John's listeners, which I hardly ever do get a chance, and give John a break this evening. If you've been following the news, I kind of wanted to bring this up because a couple YouTubes were sent to me about the crisis in Venezuela, and the Trump administration issuing sanctions against the Venezuela government, and I think they just announced recently and they were going to do an oil embargo against the Venezuelan government. I thought this would be a good opportunity to explain something that the news doesn't really tell us, and most lawyers don't understand, but what you're watching is the executive branch, in this case Trump. They usually attributed these actions to the Bush administration or the Trump administration or the Carter administration. They tagged the term administration on the end, and everybody kind of thinks it's normal that the Trump administration has issued sanctions against Venezuela. And I don't know if people remember when way back it was Jimmy Carter who issued sanctions against Iran, and Bill Clinton issued sanctions against Iraq. And we're all kind of used to that. We grew up with it, depending on how old you are. We've heard that term. We've seen that strategy used by the White House, but most of us didn't question where the heck that came from. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to bring to everyone's attention, for those who are unaware, that he is getting that authority to issue sanctions against a foreign country based on war and emergency powers. And people don't realize that we have been in a state of national emergency since 1933. In 1933, when FDR came in and brought in the New Deal and a bunch of other things that were not constitutional, when FDR demanded that the people turn in their gold or suffer the consequences, and that is explained pretty well in Ronald McDonald's book, They Own It All, I guess they could go to jail or be fined $10,000. So that's not a constitutional move, folks, right? For the president to demand that the American people turn over to the government their gold. Nowhere in the Constitution is that kind of power. So at the time, Congress was told that we were having a banking emergency and that the office of the president needed this emergency power to deal with this banking emergency, which was blamed on the Great Depression. And Congress was given, I believe it's in the Senate report, like an hour to review the legislation that Roosevelt wanted passed. There was like one copy in both houses, so they didn't get a chance to read it, but they were told it had to be done quickly. It was an emergency. So back in 1933, Congress voted to give the office of the president war and emergency powers. And because they gave it to the office, not Franklin Roosevelt, that power stayed in the, and they didn't put an termination date on it, that power stayed with the executive branch from then on. So it's been in place since 1933, the permanent state of national emergency. This allows the president to do all of these unconstitutional activities, like sanction a foreign government. When the president perceives what they're doing as a threat to national security. Okay, this has been used many times over these years. Finally, in 1973, for people who are unfamiliar with it, I talked about this a lot. I also host a show on RBN. I should have said that in the beginning, on Saturday nights, and it is called In Defense of Humanity. It's on at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every Saturday night from 8 to 10. So anyway, on my show, I have talked about this many, many times. I've tried to get the word out in other interviews that I've done to get folks to kind of understand what this means, okay? And because Trump has done what he's done regarding Venezuela, I thought it'd be a good chance to explain to people a little, remind people again, what is the status of our government? Do we have a constitution still in play? In fact, I even saw a recent talk that Ron Paul gave that he was referring to the state of national emergency. So it would seem like some people know about it and others don't. I haven't heard any other politician talk about the state of national emergency but Ron Paul. So I don't think they really want the public to be aware of what is going on in Washington and what kind of government we really have. But back in 1973, a Senate committee was put together to investigate the possibility of terminating the permanent state of national emergency. In 73, the Senate was very familiar with the fact that it had been in place nonstop since 1933. So they had a committee together, and they studied what the statutes allowed and what was done between 33 and 73, and they issued a report called Senate Report 93549. And everybody can read that if they like. It's on my website. I have a website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you go there and you look at the tabs at the top, one of the tabs will say Source Documents. Scroll down and you will see there's three links for Senate Report 95543. Okay. You'll see it. There's three versions. One is an excerpt, one is a copy of the original, and one is a easier to read verbatim copy of the original text. Okay, so you got three choices. When you look at that, you will see that they acknowledge that this gave the president unconstitutional powers. Okay, now I'm going to quote a law review article I found recently that put together the Senate report or the national emergency, a bit of the history, and brought it into focus as far as what Trump is doing. Okay, and this appeared by a law student in a law blog. It's called lawfareblog.com. The article was written by Catherine Poddy, who is a second-year student at Harvard Law School, where she is an editor of the Harvard Law Review. Before law school, she spent 2 years working at the Defense Intelligence Agency, and she graduated from Yale in 2014. So on Friday, December 8th, 2017, she posted on their law blog a piece that is titled Emergencies Without End, A Primer on Federal States of Emergency. Now, if you want to read that, you can do your own search, or you can find a link to it on my website. If you look at the web page that I have up called IDH Program Links, and that stands for In Defense of Humanity Program Links, click on that, and you will see the different shows that I've done. On that page is 2019, but I have links to the previous years, and I did one earlier this year on war and emergency powers. So if you click on that, and you will see that I did the show, the name of the program, War and Emergency Powers, and Trump redoes this. Trump recently last year reissued the permanent state of national emergency. So it is in play right now. He did this last September. And his reason for doing it was a continuation of the war on terror. Once he tells Congress and files in the National Register that he's extending the emergency powers, then he's good for another year. And that's what he did. So he is now still functioning under emergency powers. This law student had this to say about what happened in 1973. So I'm going to read it to you, because very few lawyers, I think, understand it. And if they do, very few are willing to admit it. I'm pretty certain that all congressional members understand it, and none of them, except Ron Paul maybe, are willing to admit it. But this is what she said. Quote, all presidential authority is derived from either the Constitution or an act of Congress. As our Constitution contains no general emergency powers provision, presidents must look to congressional acts for the authority to act beyond the normal limits of their powers. By 1973, Congress had enacted over 470 statutes granting the president special powers in times of crisis. These powers would lay dormant until the president declared a state of emergency, at which point all would become available for his use. And at the time, the president could declare an emergency as he alone saw fit. No procedures or rules constrained his discretion. Okay, that's what they had to say in their report. However, Congress decided they want to alter that. So in 1976, they wanted to pull back some of his emergency powers and set some limits. And they enacted the National Emergencies Act. Okay? When they passed the National Emergencies Act, what they did is they established a time limit on the president's emergency powers, and he would have to register the emergency, explain what the emergency was, and notify Congress that he had issued this state of emergency. And he had a year before it ran out, unless he amended it or he reinitiated it. And since 1976, each president has had a state of emergency. That power has never left the White House since 1933. That is the power that they have to issue sanctions on foreign governments, to go to war without the permission of Congress, do police actions without the permission of Congress, regulate communications, regulate transportation, regulate private business. The broad expansion of emergency powers in the White House is what we are seeing today. That is why the president could declare an emergency pandemic, like Obama did in 2009, across the whole country. It used to be that we never had pandemics. All we had was epidemics, and they were local. But that changed when they passed the Model States Health Emergency Act, whatever that was called again. But so now Trump is issuing sanctions against Venezuela. So what we've got is we have not got a constitutional government. I've had lawyers argue with me and tell me the president can't do that. And it's, to me, I just kind of chuckle. And my response is to all the lawyers who say that's not possible, they can't do that. What I have to say to them is, then you guys get together and you start an action stopping it on the basis of it not being constitutional. If you're right, then that action should succeed. But I am telling you, none of them have challenged it. I don't know one attorney who has attempted to challenge it. It is here. It has been here since 1933. And unless it is allowed to expire, and no president has let that happen, or the president himself terminates it, they're going to hang on to this power. And as long as they have this power, the normal function of constitutional government is not there. I hope everybody understands this. Here is how this law student ends her article. And again, you can find the article on my website. It's titled Emergencies Without End, A Primer on Federal States of Emergency. And she winds up her piece by saying, will these emergencies last forever? Not necessarily. Presidents let some emergencies, like those for the swine flu, expire, and they end others by proclamation. Congress, too, may try to end any national emergency at any time, but if the last four decades are any indication, some emergencies are here to stay. Okay, stay tuned.
Came and took it all away.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm back. On my website, anticorruptionsociety.com, you can see on the homepage the article that I posted titled Trump Renews Extraordinary Post-9/11 Powers. Okay? Now, when they renew these powers, they have to say why. And I'm going to read you from this article what Trump had to say is why he was renewing these powers. And he did so back in September 2018. And here's what he had to say in a notice he sent to Congress. Quote, because the terrorist threat continues, the national emergency declared on September 14th, 2001, and the powers and authorities adopted to deal with that emergency must continue in effect beyond September 14th, 2018. Unquote. So he renewed the emergency powers based on the war on terror. So I wanted to explain a little bit about the war on terror. For those of you who have not seen, have not read, have not seen the documentary 9/11 Missing Links, have not been to Christopher Boland's website, have not listened to his YouTubes, I strongly, strongly, especially those of you who have been really interested in doing research, investigation, and following who did 9/11 and why the official story was bogus. And boy, the 9/11 truthers, there's a lot of them. If you haven't yet looked at Christopher Boland's research, you're still not quite there, okay? There is a YouTube that I watched several times, and I might even watch it again. It's that good. And it's called Christopher Boland, semicolon, The Man Who Solved 9/11. Okay, Christopher Boland, The Man Who Solved 9/11. I have an excerpt of that that I'd like to play to kind of put these two stories together, 9/11, the war on terror, and the permanent state of national emergency. Could we play that now, Dan? Do we have time or should we wait till the next break? Okay. Let's wait till we get back. Okay. There is a connection, very much so, between Trump renewing the permanent state of national emergency and the war on terror. That is the war powers that the presidents have kept in place and renewed every year without skipping a beat since 9/11. Now, some people might have seen the interview done by Alex Jones with Aaron Russo telling about his experience with Nick Rockefeller. And Aaron Russo, in case you're not familiar with it, did the wonderful documentary America, Freedom to Fascism. He was amazing. And he went out of his way to try to tell the truth. I'm sorry to say he is deceased. But in this interview, and I've played clips of this many times on my show, he explains how Nick Rockefeller, when he was trying to convince Aaron Russo to join their effort, okay, explained to him that there would be an event, and this conversation took place before 9/11, before that event. Nick Rockefeller said, and then there would be an ongoing war on terror that would never end. And he chuckled when he explained this to Aaron Russo. Because the war on terror, you could never win it because you couldn't identify the enemy. And I want people to think about that. The war on terror can't be terminated because you can't have a surrender. There won't be a surrender because you can't identify a specific enemy, which means the war on terror can go on forever, on and on and on. And as long as they keep renewing the war on terror every year, these special privileges, the special authority, actually, the White House has enough authority to rule the country as a dictatorship and has done so, from what I can see, they've done so many times. And I don't foresee, with these false flag attacks that keep going on and on, they've managed to have some several times a year. They managed to create a terror threat. I don't see this ending anytime soon. If it doesn't end, you will not see a restoration of normal constitutional processes. This is why the president acts as if he is a dictator. He has all the authority he needs to run the country without any benefit of Congress, and has been doing so for a long time. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back and we'll hear that clip.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Sitting in for John Stapp Miller on the National Intel Report. And we're going to listen now, if we could, Dan, to this is a clip from that wonderful interview that I highly recommend to everybody. It's on YouTube. It's titled Christopher Bolin, the man who solved 9/11. Far as I can tell, he is the one who solved who did it. Okay. And now we know why they did it. They needed to bring in the war on terror, the permanent state of national emergency. And I'll talk a little bit more about that after we listen to this clip. It's only 7 minutes, and I think you're going to find it extremely interesting. Can we play it now?
Can you name me, like, the top three people you think were involved with planning 9/11?
Well, the people at the top who planned 9/11, these would be people in Israeli military intelligence whose names would not mean much to anybody. But at a political level, I would say that it would be Shimon Peres. I would think Benjamin Netanyahu, because he's been the promoter of the war on terror agenda since 1979. I would think Shaul Eisenberg, Mr. Big in China for the Israeli Mossad. I think Ehud Barak, not a Likudnik, but I think Ehud Barak played a key role. And I would say also Ariel Sharon. And then going back one generation, men who were still alive when 9/11 happened or just recently deceased, Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir. These would be the political players, that, you know, except for Shaul Eisenberg, he's not very well known, but the rest of them are people who Americans are, understand who these people were. You know, these people were terrorists, absolute terrorists. They always used terrorism. Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir, they murdered the UN envoy to Palestine, Volker Bernadotte, in 1948. They bombed the King David Hotel in 1946. They massacred Palestinians in Deir Yassin and other villages. I mean, these are bona fide, real terrorist leaders. In fact, Menachem Begin took the mantle of being the father of terrorism in the whole world. So when terrorism then happens, when their agenda goes through and their people commit terrorism, what's the problem? Yeah, why is it anti-Semitic? You know, I lived in Israel when Menachem Begin came to power. And it was a very sad day for, you know, people from the Labor Party because they realized that the terrorists had taken power.
There's a quote in your book about, I think it's Ben Gurion. They say he's the king of terrorism, and he goes, the king of terrorism in the world. He corrected him. Like, they brag about their terrorism. It's no secret, right, of the history of terrorism of the Mossad and the Irgun.
That was Menachem Begin who said that when he was asked, you know, and he said, what is it like to be the father of terrorism in the Middle East? And he said, in the Middle East, he said, in all the world. So, that's the reason why Zionist history is not taught in American schools, because if American universities taught the history of Zionism, you would know, you would understand the evilness and the terrorist nature of the Zionist project, because the state of Israel was born into terrorism and has survived with terrorism ever since.
Okay. Tucks in your book, the last chapter, a Muslim guy was writing it, right? Who wrote the last chapter?
It was the Nation of Islam Research Group.
Research Group. They talk about the significance of your work in history. And I'd like to ask you, how often do you think about your place in history, and what will people write about you hundreds of years from now if the truth is known about 9/11?
Well, I don't know. I don't think about that often. You know, it's been 16 years I've been working on this, and it's been a very big effort. You know, it took a lot of time and a lot of energy, and it's had a lot of costs for me and my family. So I just hope that people will waken up and realize what's happened to this country, and And if my work contributes to that awakening, if my work contributes to shortening the war on terror by one day, if my work contributes to the prosecution and indictment of the people who carried out 9/11, that will be the best reward.
Pulitzer for 100 years. So there's very bad guys who you're exposing here. You've literally solved, you've uncovered the motive, the people behind it. Do you fear for your life when you go out in public and people are protesting, that very well could be somebody violent that wants to shut you up for exposing them mm-hmm. for these crimes?
Yeah, well, I'm cautious and everything like that. You know, I try to be as careful as possible. But, you know, to think that that the criminal network behind 9/11 is all powerful and able to, reach anywhere. Yeah, you know, they are a criminal network, but they're men like you and I, and you know, their life goes on. Many of them have died. Many of them have moved on to other things. They have accomplished. They have gotten what they wanted. They got the war on terror. They got all the war on terror in spades. They've got terrorism going on in Europe and America. They've got the wars going on in a half a dozen countries. They've destroyed Syria. They've destroyed Iraq. They've destroyed Afghanistan. They've destroyed, you know, Libya. They got what they wanted. So for me to be, you know, explaining, you know, my side of this and explaining what the war on terrorism is all about, I guess they have nothing, no problem with that. It's like they've achieved their goal. They've achieved billions and billions of dollars. They've disrupted the Middle East. They're redrawing the map of the Middle East. You know, nothing has stopped them. and they're destroying this country. That's really important. And you know, anybody who has any patriotic feeling for the United States of America should engage in 9/11 truth and demand an end to the war on terror and demand accountability from you know, the people in the media and the government who have covered up this crime for 16 years. It's just outrageous.
It is outrageous. I agree. Every 9/11 truther needs to read these books. If you haven't, you're completely uninformed. These are the best books about 9/11. I've read both of them several times. Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World, and The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East. The War on Terror and 9/11 go hand in hand. They're essentially the same crime.
Yeah.
Chris has sacrificed a lot for this information. He's a man of courage and integrity. I appreciate you so much for sitting down and taking the time with me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And everybody needs to read these books and share the information with everybody you know. Any last words, Chris?
Well, thank you very much, and I couldn't agree more on the need to understand that we've been deceived about 9/11, and we've been deceived for a reason. And the reason is to take us into this long, open-ended criminal war in the Middle East and elsewhere. And in order to end the deception, we need to increase awareness. And the more people who become aware of 9/11 and the lies of 9/11 will understand the lies of the war on terror. We've been deceived into war. The war agenda will destroy this nation. It will impoverish this nation. It will destroy this nation. And it's incumbent, it's imperative that any patriotic American do their utmost to expose the deception and end the war. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now I'm going to read you a little section from the article on my website called Trump Renews Extraordinary Post 9/11 powers. The final article, remember I said in 1976 they redid the National Emergencies Act and put some restrictions on the ability of the White House to continue on with these emergency powers. They had to register them every year. Okay, so here's the final paragraph in this interesting article that was in Washington Examiner, written by Richard Donachi, September 10, 2018. Quote, the National Emergency Act requires that the president renew the emergency at the end of each year or at the date of the proclamation lapses. Congress is also supposed to review the state of emergency every 6 months, but it notably never has, unquote. So by selecting the war on terror, Congress has its hands tied. It would have to acknowledge or challenge the official story of 9/11 because they renew this thing based on Bush's emergency that was declared shortly after the 9/11 attack. And it gets renewed because of the continuation of the war on terror. So I'm not sure that Christopher Boleyn is at all aware of the Emergency Powers Senate Report 93549, Senate Report 93549, or the fact that the president renews the war on terror every year. To me, it shows the likelihood of Congress being able to review that war on terror and somehow negate it. They would have to, on some level, admit that the original event, 9/11, was not an act of terrorism, was not an act of war. A lot of researchers concluded, and I absolutely agree with them, Christopher Boleyn refers to the 9/11 events as a crime. What happened in New York City on 9/11 was a crime. Criminals attacked two buildings and took them down and killed 3,000 people in the process. However, the researchers who are looking at what happened in the Pentagon were very clear when they drew their conclusion. I listened to a couple YouTubes there. When they said, because the Pentagon was attacked, okay, that's a military site, because the Pentagon was attacked by terrorists, this makes this whole event of that day an act of war. Christopher Boulin perceives it as a criminal act that has never been investigated, and he's right on that count. No question. The man's a genius. I mean, you listen to that, he knocked my socks off. He's got amazing information. He took on the whole 9/11 issue by researching who blocked the investigation, who eliminated the evidence, what players were in place that could cover up this, quote, crime, unquote. Okay? He's right about that, but I'm not sure that he's correct when he comes up with a motive. Yes, it's true what's happened in the Middle East, but what has also happened since 9/11 is we are living in a surveillance state. The number one country, companies in Israel, are the number one sales, the number one businesses come from Israel, top 10, selling surveillance equipment. They made a killing off of this. After 9/11, look around. We've got surveillance cameras everywhere. Several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I went to work with a committee in the Sierra Club, and I couldn't get into their office without them punching in surveillance codes. They had surveillance codes, surveillance camera, surveillance guards. They had that building they were in had bought all of this equipment, all of these cameras, all the surveillance. We've got now we've got Homeland Security divisions across the country. Ohio has a Department of Homeland Security. Of course, most people who understand the Constitution understand that the Homeland Security is not constitutional in Ohio, but a federal grant came in and set it up. So this war on terror didn't just help put the country at ongoing wars forever. They have restructured our government. They've restructured our towns, our cities, our police departments. Our police departments now have advanced technology so they can monitor your license plates. We've got microchips in our driver's license. All of this was achieved under the umbrella of the war on terror. Okay? It is my conclusion that when they passed that National Emergency Act, setting limits on the president's powers during an emergency or war in 1976, the culprits started, they said his first talk was in 1979 about the war on terror, Benjamin Netanyahu. So it is not hard to conclude that since they were going to have restrictions, they needed a way to keep an ongoing war on terror without questions asked. And that's what 9/11 gave them. It gave them that unidentifiable enemy. All they had to do was fake an event of terror once or twice a year. They've got an unidentifiable enemy, and the president uses that as an excuse to claim that America, there's a threat of terrorism in America, so we have to keep the war on terror going. It's an unfortunate situation. If people can see it differently, they're welcome to share their thoughts. But we have to understand that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, this is why they're doing searches without warrants, that all of these things during a national emergency, the normal limitations the Constitution gives the, quote, government, unquote, are suspended during a national emergency. And the first time I discovered that was when we had the swine flu epidemic back in 2009, and I tried to ascertain if any legislation had been passed in the state of Ohio whereby they granted themselves the authority to insist, to force the public all accept a vaccine. And the whole thing unraveled right in front of my face. I could see the whole thing, how everything had changed after 9/11. Legislation got passed, so now we have medical emergencies, a pandemic emergency, where they give special powers to, remember, Obama announced a national emergency for the swine flu. They fudged all the figures. This emergency powers is granting them the ability to do all of this outside of the U.S. Constitution. Okay, I'll take callers. If anyone has any comments or thought they'd like to add, I'd be happy to hear them. Do we have anyone on hold? Mike? Okay. After this break, I guess.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Let's take a call from Art off the grid.
Hey, Al, how you doing today?
Where are you located?
I'm in Georgia.
Georgia, okay. Hi, Art.
Yeah, I'm in the communist state of Georgia, that is.
Pretty state,
not confused with the nation state of Georgia as understood through the constitutionally minded folks of the United States of America. Anyway, I've tried telling people the same exact thing that you're saying right now. And, you know, when you tell people the war on terror is bogus, the first question they want to know is, they ask is why. And then you try to tell them that the war on terror must be bogus because when you talk about a war on terror, you're talking about fighting a war against an ideology which has no face and can come from any direction. So you are always going to be on guard. There is never going to be a time where you can breathe an easy breath. And I'm sorry, but I simply refuse to live a life where I'm expected to be in fear every single day that passes by. I simply won't do it. I can't. And I don't know anybody who can and be happy. How can you be happy when you live in a state of fear all the time? And, you know, the Aaron Russo, I tell you what, man, this man has done some incredible work, and it was his documentary, Freedom to Fascism, that I'm not going to say really woke me up because I was already researching at that time and learning, but it really helped drive home, especially, you know, just exactly how deep this goes, especially his conversation where he told us about his friendship with Nicholas Rockefeller.
Right.
And
right.
Just blown away that this guy would have the nerve to sit there and tell somebody this. You know, just, I mean, you've got to really feel extremely comfortable in your current state to be able to sit there and look at somebody like Aaron Russo, who already has a wide audience, and tell him that, oh, yeah, there's going to be this war, and there's never going to end, and da-da-da-da-da. That is a level of stupidity that goes beyond anything I've seen in my life. And, you know, so anybody that's not seen any of Aaron Russo's work, you really, really should watch this man, because, God rest his soul, he did so much to help educate so many people. And personally, I don't know about anybody else, but I believe, I don't give a damn what the autopsy say. I don't give a damn what the papers say. I believe the man was murdered.
Yeah. Well, I could see why they might want to do that. But, yeah, his interview, his movie's good, but his interview is just not, it just dropped me to the floor because he talked about this thing. And if you listen to that Christopher Bolin YouTube, he's proven that this attack was planned years in advance. Years in advance. So that just makes sense when Nick Rockefeller told him he knew all about it. And I wasn't that in 1999, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, hold on. We're going to break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.